If you turn in your Bibles to 4:1, we've come to the middle. We had communion last week, so we haven't progressed much. We've been talking about the call of the church in Ephesians 1-3. We have been given the highest calling. You've been chosen in eternity past. You want to know who the chosen people are? It's you. You are no accident. God chose you. We've gone through all of Ephesians, the highest calling. God has spared nothing for you. He has redeemed you, called you, and now, since we have the highest calling, in 4:1 he says, therefore, in light of your high calling, walk worthy. Walk worthy. We looked at, the last time we talked, we looked at the term walk. It means your behavior. And yet, to be honest with you, as I evaluate the established church, I don't see a good report card. I really don't. The church, Jesus said, the kingdom would be compared to a mustard seed that would grow great, large, the birds would nest in it, but it doesn't represent truly the people of God. But Jesus also said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. It's not our business to say, like we all know, Jeff Cox, you're not saved. That's the Lord's business. We need to walk worthy. You know I'm just teasing you, Jeff. I was worried about you. I didn't see you this morning, so I had to take a shot. Well, tonight is graduation. Talking about a worthy walk. I'm going to get myself in trouble. You know I'm always in trouble. If I'm not in trouble in Sunday school for something I said, I'm always in trouble. Tonight is graduation. At graduation, I'm the type of a person that will evaluate what am I doing and why am I doing what I'm doing and how does this measure up and what Jesus said in the Bible about what we're doing. No one asks that question. Okay, here's what they do in graduation. Tonight, I will go and I will get in a black robe. It will be a long flowing black robe, long flowing arms. You know why they used to have those kind of gowns? Because it was cold when they had college in Europe, and so they'd hide bread and other types of sandwiches in these type of gowns. That's what they did. That's the truth. But after a while, I have this gown. And by the way, you know, I told my Sunday school class that I had to take magic marker because when we had the people come in and paint, they got paint all over my gown. And so I had to sit there and Sandy helped me put magic marker on all the paint blotches that were on there. So if you go in looking, who is that schlemiel dressed like that? It's me. I hope I can cover it. Anyway, they put you in a gown, long flowing gown. And you have this hood. And then I love it because the guys that have their doctor of theology, what they call a THD, they have red stripes. They look like, I mean, just these huge, you got to watch tonight, red stripes all over. And it's like you want to advertise, me, 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 me. It's these red stripes. And then they put these hats. I got one now that looks like a painter's hat. You ever seen the beret type of one? I got one because the other one, I hate that square. So I'll have a beret and we'll all march in. And then the board first. All the money, money, if I were a rich man. You know, ever see that? My kids just did Fiddle on the Roof for theater. Huh? That's not singing. You're not taking that stuff again, are you? No, okay. And then all the people will march in with, after the rich people, bored rich people. They'll march in with the robes and all the red stripes and the flowing robes. And then they'll march in the students and they'll put them on the platform and they'll announce their 4.0 grade point average. And they'll put this colorful robe, this robe, because they're marching in their robes. And they put that on, and everything about graduation, if you look at the Bible, and we'll call them, you now have a master's degree. And we're going to give tomorrow night
You now have your PhD, and you now can be called master and doctor. You ever thought about what Jesus said? This is complete, forgive me, but I don't think they do it deliberately, but this is completely antithetical to what Jesus said. Let me go to Matthew 20. Now, we're studying the conduct of the church. Go to Matthew 20. Let me tell you the story about Matthew 20. In Matthew 20, just to show you that Jesus taught something completely different. And remember, Jesus taught something completely different. Matthew 20, James and John come up to Jesus and they use their, is it the aunt or the mother? Came down by the sons. They used their mother because this is Jesus' aunt. You know why James and John put their mother up? Because that's the aunt, that's the relative of Mary. Okay? So if you want a Mickey Mouse, you take your aunt and hopefully Jesus will respond because this is some family member and they want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They want to be the president and vice president in Jesus' coming kingdom. Forget treasurer, secretary, forget homeland security. They want vice president, secretary of state. Jesus is totally, completely, absolutely upset with them. Here's what Jesus told them. They come up, grant that in your kingdom, my two sons may sit on your right and on your left. Make them the biggest, Jesus. And they try to cut out the other disciples in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. And then the other disciples are mad. By the way, you know now, you know what they were arguing about Jesus' Last Supper, Last Passover. What were they arguing about? Who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom? They still never solved that. I mean, and so Jesus, of course, hearing this, calls them and says this in verse 25. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it will not be so among you. Whoa, wait a second. Have you seen the church today? Have you seen the outfits they wear? The jewelry? Why do you think they wear those outfits? Because it's a psychological operation to make you think they're in charge, you're not. Jesus said, don't you do that. Jesus said, whoever wishes to become great among you should be your, what does your translation say? No, slave. You want to be great? How many of you would say, and I hit the clergy, you know I'll always do it because that's my business. How many of you think the clergy act as servants? I don't think so. I mean, I'm going to go to a graduation tonight where every one of them are going to be endowed with the word master and doctor. What a rebel I am. Jesus said, the greatest of you will be a servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you should be a what? You see, in those days, it was the culture overall in the what we would call the Hellenistic culture that if you wanted to do something, you would brag about yourself. I always love it when pastors are told to fill out a resume. So what do? You brag about, yes, I pastored this church, I received this award, that award. And that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus said. Jesus wanted people to be servants. Now, let me show you something else, because we're going into Ephesians 1. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Because what we do is we teach what Jesus said, not what the church does. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness, what? To be noticed by them. How many times do you think the church practices their righteousness before men to be noticed by them. How many times have we dedicated buildings in the name of someone? But look what Jesus hated this. Look what he said. If you practice your righteousness before men, do it in secret. Otherwise, your Father will not reward you. So, all of you that see, yes, I'm friends with Dr. Such and Such, who is a professor over at that university. Do you think there's any reward for that man that took that?
No.
I'll tell you who's going to get the biggest reward. It's going to be the little old lady that cleans the toilets at the school. I had one. The president wanted to fire her. Budget was going bad. Not this place, but another place. Let's fire Mom Sutton. She's a widow, I said. Why would you do that? Jesus said to protect widows. You know what he said to me? The president turned to me and said, you're a legalist. That's what he said. That's literally what he said. I'm always in trouble. You think Sunday school is the only place that I'm going to upset you? That's not just it. They sound a trumpet when they give their money. So what do we do? How do we give money in the church? We march the ushers down. And we let everybody notice who's giving. Ooh, I'm a bad boy. What do we do? And when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. But you, my followers, verse 6 of chapter 6, when you pray, where do you go? Get in your closet. There should be closeted Christians when we give, when we pray. Now, they love to stand on the corner. And when they fasted in verse 16 of chapter 6, don't put on a gloomy face. Yeah, why is it in Christianity or churchianity, the ones that we think are most spiritual seem to be the ones most miserable? Look what Jesus said. When you fast, don't put on a gloomy face as hypocrites, for they neglect their appearance. And everybody knew that they were fasting. But you, when you fast, don't let them know. Look happy. Exact opposite of what we do today. Now, one last thing. Matthew 23. Go to Matthew 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees. Okay, now, come on. Let's do that. Who were the Pharisees? You should know this by now. Who were the Pharisees? They were the fundamentalists of Jesus' day. They were the fighting fundies. Do you know who was Jesus' greatest opponents? Oh, I make people mad this way, but it's what the Bible says. Do you know who Jesus' greatest opponents were? Religious authorities and the fundamentalists. Pharisee meant separated. It says they've sat in the seat of Moses. In other words, they've taken over spiritual authority. Therefore, all they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say, and they what? Do not do. And they tie up heavy men's loads and lay them on the shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them. They do all their deeds to be noticed by men. And then here's what they do. Listen. They broaden their phylacteries. Here, have you ever gone and looked in the Middle East and you see people against the temple stones, and they have on these things with the prayer things and the robes? And what they did is to let everybody, the more spiritual we were, the longer the robe tassels, these nice you could know a fundamentalist because they always had on this beautiful long flowing robe and garment, and they had the tassels, and everybody knew just how spiritual they were. And listen to me. What's your point, Pastor Dave? Your point is, Jesus said, don't do it. God hates it. It says here, they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. They broaden their phylacteries. They lengthen the tassel of their garments. They love the place of honor at the banquets. And the chief seats. So where do you seat the board at a banquet? Where do you see the head honchos? Right up front. Where do they put me? The last. I like it that way. Out of sight, out of mind. That's where I was last night at the banquet, in the back. But that's where Jesus said you should sit. By the way, so that means this. The best seats in a church are where? You know how have you ever been in some churches? Many churches and synagogues, the people who sit up front pay the most of their tithe, and so they get the top seats up front. In our church, the top seats are in the back. So what I'm going to do, if you sit in the back, we're charging more for those seats now. But up then, and in many churches in Europe and America, and in synagogues, the people sitting up front, they paid for that seat. And they would sit in that seat, and you wouldn't dare sit in their seat because why? You knew who was paying the most. And in a synagogue, the people way in the back, those are the shamils that have given nothing. So you know they, because they're in the back. But by the way, aren't churches like that? I know many churches where you have certain places you sit, and woe betide if someone takes your seat, even if your name ain't on it. Jesus wouldn't approve of that. Get mad at Pastor Dave. You know that. They love to be called rabbi. You know what the word rabbi means? Today the equivalent would be doctor. Well, hello, doctor. And I started thinking about this. Forgive me, as we're talking about a worthy walk, and I'm going to get to my point. But I got to build it up for you. Jesus taught the exact opposite of what churches are doing. Who's the first in the church? Usually it's the pastor. It's not how Jesus said it should be. And I looked at graduation and I'm going, I know, I just don't think they're thinking about it. And the fundamentalists, the more they pound the pulpit and say, follow the word, do we? And I become very discouraged in my spiritual life because I see what Jesus said. And then tonight, the hypocrite I am, I'm going to broaden my phylactery. And I'm going to march down and be on the platform with the chief seats and go, God, forgive me, I am sinning right now. I'm going to, you know, it says confess your sins to one another. We're not doing what Jesus said in the church. Now, if you had a list of five or six things that are the top of your list of what you hate personally, okay? Let's say you had a list. These are your own personal list of what you really chaps you. Do you have a list? Okay. Share your list with me. On the top of my list would be preachers. I have no respect. You know what I mean? Okay. Well, share your list with me. Number one thing that you would hate the most about an individual, what would you put on the top of your list? Mark said that. What else? What would you put on the top of your list of, man, you really dislike? Give me your list. Huh? So they say one thing and do another, a hypocrite. What else? Come on, put it. How about they're mean? How about, huh? Surliness. We don't like mean people. Judgmental. That's, oh, do I get a lot of fundamentalists that are judgmental? Jesus said, you know what Jesus said about the wheat and the tares? The tares were the ones that don't follow Jesus. The wheat followed Jesus. He said, let them grow together. Good luck. I know there's many a fundamentalist that loves to rip out those tares. Jesus said, let them grow together and I'll separate them. How come we're not following the word? What else would be on your list? Users. In what way, Cheryl?
They think everybody's supposed to take care of them.
Ooh. Anything else on your list?
Know-it-alls.
Know-it-alls. Boy, can I detect that? That's all I get where I'm at the other place. You know, we're going to announce tonight graduating summa cum laude. What does that mean? It means they sucked up to the professors. Professors, that's another word. What should we be called, professors or servants?
I call them ascended.
Probably. Do you know God has a list? Did you know God has a list? I've asked you to make your list. Are you aware that God has a list? And He put the six things that He hates the most. And don't look, when God makes a list, don't you dare violate that list. Let's go see the list that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Now, when God makes a list, it would behoove you to listen. By the way, who wrote Proverbs most likely? Solomon. Solomon was probably one of the most arrogant kings there ever was. If you've been in the Wednesday night Bible study, would that be accurate, Wanda? I mean, you said, well, I thought he got wisdom. He sure blew it. He was an arrogant guy. He conscripted the whole nation and made them build his buildings and taxed them horribly. And then his son Rehoboam got to be king, and they said, Rehoboam, don't do what your dad did. They taxed us and beat us into the ground, and he said, my little finger is thicker than my dad's loins. In other words, he was going to do it 10 times worse than that. That's arrogance. Solomon was arrogant. So God had to beat him up spiritually. All right. Then Solomon reveals, when he writes Proverbs, after God had to straighten him around, God gives a list in chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Here's God's list, and don't you ever forget this list. God made up a list of what really chaps him. Okay? And I know what some people would put on their list, but God's list is different. There are six things which the Lord hates. By the way, I forgot to ask, what does Adonai mean? And no seminary guys can answer that question. You guys singing about Adonai. What does that mean? One person. How many of you say, I sang about Adonai, but I don't even know who it means? I'll bet. Six things the Lord hates. Now, this is a list of what God hates, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you want to know what God hates? Yes, seven. He's added one to the list, which are an abomination. And by the way, God's abomination isn't you didn't wear a suit and tie or you did wear an offensive t-shirt this morning. There's a list. And God put it in order of what chaps him. And the first thing on God's list is something that you know where we're going. Haughty eyes. Come with me tonight and I will show you. You ever seen somebody with haughty eyes? I should have been a psychiatrist because I find people fascinating. And I'm always trying to figure out what I'm dealing with. Somebody do a haughty eye for me. Who will do it? Huh? Who? Mark? I don't know. Can you do some haughty? Anybody want to do some haughty eyes for me? Have you ever watched somebody give haughty eyes? It drips off of some. Self-impressed. Haughty. What do you think makes people haughty? What makes people prideful? Education, status,
money.
So what do? We march in the rich board members first. Haughty eyes are first on God's list. What's another word for haughty eyes?
Pride.
Pride. Arrogance. That's what's first on his list. But let's look at, forget hitting people. Let's hit preachers. I have to. Some of the titles of preachers. Are you ready? Reverend. What does the word reverend come from? Reverend? Most, they give another title, most right reverend. You think now that you even look at these scriptures, Jesus would say, hey, great title. Good. Like that. The most right reverend. I went to the Anglican church, and because my studies deal in having to deal with those boys, I look at some of their titles. The vicar. The canon. You know what the canon means? You know what the word, when they call themselves the canon? I make the rules that you follow. Yeah, right. You make the rule and I'll rebel against it. Think about this. Why should I talk about, as a preacher, anybody else when preachers have the longest Jacob Marley chain there ever was? Reverend, what is reverend about a preacher? Absolutely nothing. Then they love the title senior pastor. What does that mean? That means every other schlemiel better get underneath me because I'm in charge. Do you think pastors, you can call yourself pastor, it means shepherd. But do you think we should be giving these kind of titles? Why do they do that? So that the person in the pew will follow their direction and there will be no doubt they're in charge. Is that the way Jesus would approve of these things? Let's look at God's list. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue. Lying is next. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that always wants a wicked plan, feet that rapidly go toward evil, a false witness who utters lies, that's in court proceedings where you lie. It's not just general lying previously, but court proceedings. And one who, here you go, you ready? Spreads strife among the brethren. How many times have you been in a church where somebody loves to do that? That's God's, I don't want that. Now, let's go back. What does this have to do with Ephesians? Go back to Ephesians now. And I just want to emphasize this. God has a list. You saw that list, right? Of what he hates. Paul says, walk worthy in your behavior. And guess what's first on the list of a worthy walk? In a manner worthy of the calling with all. So what's humility? It sure ain't haughty eyes. It means you do not overestimate your worth in comparison to others. You, like Jesus, would consider others of equal value. And the first thing on a walk of a Christian in light of the highest calling, God says, in your walk, don't be arrogant. So what does that mean, Pastor Dave? It means, well, you know, I got to have my way at the church. It's got to be my way. It's got to be my color. It's got to be my this, my that. What he's talking about is, in the church, there can't be people who it's all for me. That includes the elders. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. In making peace, you know what you have to do a lot of times? You ready? Compromise. That's hard to do. But the first thing on the list in a church is not some humility. It's all humility. Which means you're looking out. This is hard to do, isn't it? For the other person. That means when you're sitting in a seat and someone would accidentally take your seat, don't do what Jesse did and throw the person over to the next couple. No, I'm kidding, Jesse. You would say, okay, that's not mine. You have it. Or you want at the senior luncheon filet mignon and Cheryl wants chicken. What do you do? You try to find a loving solution. See, this is why I am very frightened of titles given among God's people. Because titles convey something that Jesus wouldn't approve. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke, for I am meek and lowly of heart. But what happens if you had someone who's humble? You know what we automatically do? We like the guy with titles or the woman with titles. We like the big boys. We like the board members who have the money. We actually defeat in our churches what God wants us to do. And what he puts first on this list is, don't be puffed up. By the way, that's another word for that is what? Begins with a P. Do you know what the original sin in the universe was? It's not one of the things that you think. It was pride. Satan, or Lucifer, or whatever name you want to use for the creature, he didn't like it that God created man and God was going to make man great. So he decided to destroy all of God's plan. That's what we're facing today. And it all began from the original sin that God hates. Because when you give glory to yourself, guess who doesn't get the glory? So that's why preachers call themselves the Right Reverend Canon, the Most Holy Reverend, His Holiness. And what we should start practicing is when they hold out their foot for you to kiss. You hold out your, you know, some clergy holds out their foot to me and I'll break their toe. I'm a bad boy. We're not to be that way as a church. We're not to be that way as God's people. As hard as this is, it says all humility, and that's number one on God's list. He hates what? Haughty what? And that's how we have to be at the church. As we go, what's behavior? All what is the first on the list? That's hard to talk about. Because the moment you say humility and how I achieved it, I got a long way to go. By the way, last thing. Because I got to go to graduation tonight and contradict everything I just preached. You know why in churches in Europe, you know what they started to do? You ever noticed, if you look at pictures of churches in Europe, they'll have a winding staircase and the preacher will be up there. By the way, they didn't do that so that you could see those guys better. but he got in a robe and went up there so you'd know that he's the most right reverend holy canon and he's in charge and you don't. I'm even bothered, frankly, by the little step. But this way, those who are gunning for me can have a clear shot. So when you follow the Bible, here is my grade of the church that calls itself by Jesus' name. Here's my grade of it. You ready? F. Because they read the Bible, it says what it says, and then they do the exact opposite, and then they point everybody else and look at you when the professional clergy and everybody else is doing the exact opposite of what Jesus said. The greatest of you shall be a what?
Slave.
So tonight, go onto the website and watch me, and you call. Here's what you do while you're watching on your computer. You hypocrite! If they'd let me design graduation, it would honestly be different. But because of that, it would be different. They won't let me design graduation.